once again.
Hey, everybody. This is David S. Cohen, or now David X. Cohen, introducing Treehouse of Horror 5, episode 2F03, original air date, 30th of October, 1994. And I wrote the final segment. What is it called? Nightmare Cafeteria.
I'm Jim Reardon. I directed the episode.
I'm Greg Daniels, and with Dan McGrath, I wrote the Time and Punishment segment.
David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
This is Matt Groening, creator of Dr. Zoidberg.
Hey.
Co-creator.
Here we go. Wait,
already a dispute. David Cohen created Dr. Zoidberg.
Let's not torture people with Futurama stuff. This is a Simpsons commentary, guys. Is this the only time we did a live-action piece in all of The Simpsons? I was very angry at Congress, and this is a lot of the... Again, I've talked about this before. Yeah, again.
I'm always angry.
Well, they try and censor us, which, you know, would be death to The Simpsons, people. If you like censorship, there'd be no Simpsons. They were talking about all the violence and everything, and we said that they were so worried about this year's show, which is probably the most intense, disturbing Halloween show ever, this one. That we actually cut to a black and white wagon train picture. Do we ever go to live action any other time?
Yes, because I wrote it, the 3D Homer.
Yes, I directed that live action piece, but I mean just a piece of stock footage. I don't know if we've ever used it.
I don't think so.
But anyway, yeah, we filled this full. I really tried to just cram the show because I, again, very angry about any idea of censorship, especially in a comedy like this, where the violence is not real. It's fun. Tried to cram it with as much blood and guts as we ever did in a show. And I also believe that the Halloween shows should be scary as well as funny. And I think that's the greatest combination, is when people are scared and laughing, screaming and laughing simultaneously.
Yeah, I have a little note about the opening sequence. There was that tombstone that said humorous tombstones on it, which was because the writers had all gotten tired of making up the actual humorous tombstones of people whose careers were over and stuff like that.
Yes, and in fact, the year before, I don't know whether we mentioned that, but on the fifth season, we have violence on television, and then we had bullet holes hit the tombstone, and the tombstone bled. And we just got so tired of writing those.
Well, there were also, if you'll recall, by this time, many people had left the Simpsons and gone on to create their own shows, some of which were very successful and others which weren't. And we used to put on the tombstones the canceled shows from previous seasons.
Yes, Police Fish and all that, yes.
Well, for...
Greg Daniels, creator of King of the Hill, is here today. Why don't we... what's happened with King of the Hill, by the way, if I may raise that delicate issue?
This is the scariest question
ever. We're still on.
Yes.
A little bit of sweat on his brow, but he's...
In season 20,
you can get Greg
Daniels by bringing that back. King of the Hill makes it to season 17 or whatever,
Maybe I'll be a writer back on The Simpsons in season 20.
I would say this first episode here was written by Bob Cashel, and with brilliant direction by Mr. Reardon here, who directed directing a Halloween show, because it's really three shows in one, is one of the hardest things in the world to do. And Jim did a masterful job on this episode. It has such great atmosphere and everything. And obviously The Shining, some people have pointed out to me, is similar to The Shining.
Which Jim also directed.
Yes, he also directed. Well, he co-directed with Stanley Kubrick. And I was going to say, I mean, I wanted to do this episode. I was very interested in doing a parody of The Shining. Kubrick is a huge, huge influence to all of us. One of the main reasons I wanted to be a director, a writer, and everything. But Kubrick was a giant fan of The Simpsons. An enormous fan of The Simpsons.
Really? So he ripped this up to do The Shining?
I think he did. I'm not sure which came first. You have to check the copyrights. But yeah, so, and he was particularly, he called me up after this episode. No, actually he didn't. But he could have.
His lawyer called.
It could have happened. But no, he really, it has gotten back to me many times that he was a huge fan of this series. And I think through his silence, that was his silence of approval of this particular episode. So we really got a big thumbs up from him.
David Merkin's assertions are only his own. No, I actually heard that too. I have to say, I love this episode, and I have never seen The Shining.
Oh my God, you still have not seen The Shining? It's one of the funniest movies.
No, I haven't either. I don't think I have either.
Jack is one of Jack Nicholson's funniest, scariest performances. It's hilarious.
I think I pretended to when you were so into it.
Greg was always a brilliant suck-up. It was just fantastic. I never saw anything like it.
Now, write your family. I'll give you a beer. Homer? Homie? What he's typed will be a window.
And this was a joke we were particularly proud of because we do the great twist of what you're expecting. Which is the scariest moment in the actual Shining is finding the papers and the various ways, the permutations of how he wrote the same sentence. And then to have it on the wall all around.
That's cool.
Nice.
This is a great
scene. That's really cool.
We almost do a 360, but we didn't. We ran out of money there.
We settled for 270.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that expression with the eyeball, with the pupils at the top, I remember we used to refer to that as the Kubrick look.
That is. Kubrick used this crazy look of having your eyes kind of looking up on your, and he used it, I guess it really started it in Strangelove when people went crazy to look like that. And then it's true. And then in 2001 when he went through the Stargate and goes insane, he gets that look. Alex had that look in Clockwork Orange. And then I don't know if that look actually happened to Barry Lyndon, but it then resurfaced in Full Metal Jacket when that guy went crazy. So every time Kubrick had someone go crazy, he made them do the exact same look. Hold your eyes! Put your head down and look up. And by the way, if you want to look professionally crazy, that's the trick.
Actually,
I'm impressed that Mars can carry Homer.
That expression did appear in Barry Lyndon, actually, because I saw it recently. There was a big... army scene. There were about 7,000 guys on screen, and I noticed this one guy near the back had that expression on his face.
That's the beauty of new
Paths
high
of
def
glory.
TV. Is
he did Paths of Glory too, didn't he?
He did Paths of Glory. I don't know if they did that face in Paths of Glory. He didn't come up with it until people were really nuts in Strangelove. I mean, I can't even remember specifically in Strangelove. The first time I really noticed it was 2001. And this was obviously our take. I love that. I love Homer straight on, how scary he looks there. Nice job, Jim.
Well, David did the scenes where Homer's freaking out.
Silverman?
Yes, David Silverman.
Silverman, who has been banned from this commentary.
You know, Silverman, or those crazy faces, you know, that whole thing. We keep using those particular facial expressions when Homer has to make crazy faces. And Bart, too.
Are you tired of them? Are you complaining?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
no.
All right.
I know it's hard to tell when I'm enthusiastic. Or when I'm bitter and complaining. That was actually me being effusive.
Show me what you got. Is that the best you can do?
Oh, my. I hope that rug was Scotch Garden.
Must kill family.
The exact shot from The Shining, right? Right, Jim? That
was... Which was parts of it were filmed in Oregon.
That's right.
With Matt Groening and myself.
But most of that lodge all was in Pinewood Studios in England, and even for this. Oh, precious TV.
What was the name of the lodge? Bullnummer Lodge? Skyline Lodge.
The real lodge?
Mount Hood. I can't remember the
Mount
name.
Mount Hood. Right. My dad made a movie out of it in 1959. Oh, the original Homer.
Kubrick, obviously.
What, you mean a documentary?
Yeah, a little promotional film about that lodge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and about how everyone gets killed there. And all
yeah, exactly. Yeah, premonition.
Fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
Wow, see, it all connects up. I will say, when Homer was making those crazy noises and everything, those were very Charlie Callis-esque. There are certain voop, voop, when you hear that, that's the great...
Yes, the kids love Charlie Callis.
He's
that's
still
why we use
thing.
Those references.
He's
just pandering to the youth audience.
We predict that he will supplant Will Ferrell in a year and a half from this date, 1995. You look, it'll happen.
Oh, that was scary.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The show started? Oh,
there we go. This is the one written by Greg and Dan, right?
Yes.
I have to say, this is possibly my favorite thing in this whole episode is this moment right here coming up.
But you know it's a great beginning, and I love this whole sequence, and then I love what happens because he gets relaxed and he sits down,
dance,
and it happens again. So It's not that we're low on ideas.
Okay, I remember when we were writing this episode, and I pitched that the way he travels in time is that he jams his hand in the toaster. And I was shouted down. Oh, that's too
and
ridiculous.
And again, we shout you down yet again.
It's ridiculous. That's over.
Change it. It can still be changed.
No, I actually thought that this was fantastic because the time that he's gone is always the length of time of a piece of toast.
What the?
I like the way, oh yeah, that's yeah. Right. You wrote it like that, didn't you? And we go.
So this is a parody of a famous Ray Bradbury story.
Okay, when did you change that line for? That was a great line, the original line, non-Brazilian. What does that mean?
It was originally the first non-fictional character to travel back in time.
But then there was a Brazilian character who traveled back in time, and we had to be accurate.
Well, what was it?
I think I remember we pitched on that joke for like 3 hours one day, and things that don't necessarily make sense when you haven't pitched on the joke for 3 hours seem very funny after 3 hours of other jokes.
Also, it was just arbitrary and weird. And
I really thought there was a Brazilian character.
I like non-fictional. I like the other. We should dig that up and put that back in.
I won't destroy the future. Stupid bug, you go squish now!
The other thing is we saw Peabody and Sherman, which to you crazy kids out there, that's a real old reference that a lot of people don't remember, but they're from that fantastic Bullwinkle show, or Rocky and Bullwinkle, depending on which version you talk about, and an enormous influence on The Simpsons because that was a cartoon that was written by real clever, smart comedy writers for adults, and kids are just along for the ride on that.
Idly ho, slaverinos!
Oakley, Oakley!
Hey, what the hell is that geek Flanders doing on TV?
Obviously, that coming up out of the floor was a little bit of Terminator, also a little bit of a reference to, it wasn't Time Bandits, was it?
What about Time Bandits?
Somebody comes out of the floor in Time Bandits too. It's one of the images. Big Terry Gilliam fans. Big Terry Gilliam fans. What a great visual.
Okay, everybody.
Some very disturbing. I absolutely love how disturbing this looks. It's just fun, and I think it was George's line, just to relax and let the hooks do their work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was George Meyer.
All that smiling didn't tear you up.
Well, Steve Moore, who is now a director on the show, did the board for this particular act, and I remember it was like War and Peace length, because there's 150 scenes just in this act.
This is a huge show. I love Mo's performance here. I think that might have been mine, the cute talk to the brain, because it's something that I do with my pieces of brain. But just the way Hank did that was really what made it. And also Marge Bliss. I think that might have been George, too.
Are you referring to Tony Award-nominated Hank Azaria?
Yes, Hank just yesterday received a Tony nomination for Spamalot, the Python play. Eric Idle obviously has done the show. The Pythons are generally big fans of The Simpsons, I am aware. And Eric's done the show actually twice. Talked to Michael Palin. He was because everybody. I went to the premiere of Spamalot, and all the Pythons were there, and got to talk to them. And they're obviously huge influence on my writing The Simpsons. On everybody who really writes comedy,
I love this.
That's the greatest line too that you guys did there. I wish I hadn't killed that fish. You know, great. And I really just this. What is the name of the Ray Bradbury thing that we homaged?
I don't remember.
Well, it is a Ray Bradbury.
It's a Ray Bradbury short story. It's terrific.
He was not a fan of Simpsons. No,
Ray Bradbury.
He's still alive, but he's too weak to sue.
Look at this. This was executed beautifully.
This is great. Yeah, that is beautiful. And look how much death there is. Just in a nice pan of... And this breaks my heart every time I see it, because had he stayed just a couple more seconds, he would have been in his own personal heaven, and he just leaves a little too quick upon hearing that there are no donuts.
Luxury sedan. Woohoo! I hit the jackpot!
You know, and again, these are the most fun shows to do with animation, even though it kills people like Jim Reardon over here, our great director.
He is dead, by the way.
He laughs from beyond the grave. The because you can go anywhere and do anything, and just anything that pops out of our heads. This is also something I'm very proud of that we did in this series, is we have Willie appear in each episode and be killed in identical ways in each episode. And I think it's the only time we've jumped all three episodes and had all three parts of a Halloween show and had some continuing thing. I love the way this is animated.
Yeah, and that was James Earl Jones.
He killed that was.
I should point something out here that in the original
that was
script.
James Earl Jones.
One of the things that the house was supposed to turn into was the Simpson house made out of squirrels.
I think that was Dan.
Our background designer spent a day and a half drawing 1,000 squirrels in the house, and then it got cut. So, you know, right from that point on, he has used it every way possible. He's used it as a Christmas card. He asked for drawings of the show. He said, I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. So,
I would like, I never even saw it.
So
I cut it
one,
before we even saw it.
Send a postcard
if we had
to
known.
Lance Wilder.
Please
and
send
we'll
it to
send one to you.
Okay. Yes, and it was, so again, just in case we covered it, that was James Earl Jones, who came in very nicely just to do Maggie's voice.
You know, can I ask you a question? I remember one of the jokes in this being that he had another child named Roy, and that we kept joking around about Roy, the Simpsons teenage son.
Yeah.
And then we used it in the
what happened?
Episode.
It's not in this. Well, we cut it. We obviously talked
but
about
it. But it did air at some point, because
no,
people
no,
know
it never
it.
Aired.
No, no, it's in the Poochie episode, which I wrote, where... There's sort of a parallel joke where they introduce a new character, Itchy and Scratchy, and then we introduce Roy into The Simpsons.
Right, but we were joking around about that for a long time.
Yeah,
it was one of my favorite parts of the script.
Somebody from outside the show thought it would be a good idea if we reinvigorated the show by introducing a new character.
Is that really
who
something?
Would out Bart. And would come a cousin, perhaps.
Right, that's what we had been talking about before Roy came around.
Right.
Was that really somebody from outside the show? I heard it was somebody from more inside the show.
Well, you know.
But we did make a lot of...
I'm just trying to be diplomatic.
Powder keg waiting to go off in an explosion of unacceptable behavior.
Don't bitch to me, boss man. Thanks to the latest budget cuts, I'm down to using grade F meat.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was...
Oh, I have a comment about that grade F thing.
Yes.
That was inspired by something that my cousin Audrey saw when she was jogging out early one morning when she was in college, and she saw them loading boxes of hot dogs out of a truck to the cafeteria, and they said grade C or grade D, something that... but approved for human consumption.
Just barely. Just
by the way, speaking of maple syrup, grade B maple syrup is superior to grade A, in my opinion.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. All right, keep that in mind.
Keep in mind, more impurities.
Boy, are
sweeter
these commentaries.
There's helpful hints,
so
too.
Helpful.
I'm telling you.
The sweet, sweet ants in it make it so delicious. May I yak a bit about this episode?
Yes, I'm gonna introduce you.
You prepared
this is,
for this.
This is I had hired David Cohen onto The Simpsons, and something I still regret, but it happened.
He's right here.
Oh, he's right there. No, he was such a great addition to the show. Of course, coming from Harvard, you have no choice but to hire the people from Harvard. It's some sort of thing in the contract. But this was his very first thing, and we came up with the idea in the room, the idea of the students being cannibalized by the teachers. And we looked for volunteers to write it, and David jumped right up, and he did an amazing job on his very first script. I was very, very impressed, and I am a kind of a son of a bitch about that. So
wow.
Good job, David, and take it away.
Well, thank you, and thank you for hiring me, I may publicly say here, on TV or whatever we're on. What are we on?
Can you tell them what you did before?
I was in graduate school at Berkeley studying computer science before this, and I wrote for Beavis and Butthead several episodes. That was my TV resume prior to The Simpsons.
Very impressive.
A couple of things about this episode. The title Nightmare Cafeteria, as everyone will remember, was based on the short-lived Wes Craven TV series Nightmare Cafe. Anybody remember that?
Yay! That was a great series.
And here's a couple other entertaining things, perhaps. A couple things that were cut when I look back at my early notes. In addition to Uter being cooked here, we used to have Sherry and Terry being cooked, and they appeared as teriyaki steak with sherry sauce. And then this scene right here had something which I think was very funny, which got cut, and it involved Homer. And as a result of it being cut, Homer does not appear in this segment, which it may be another Simpsons first.
Yeah, Homer is not in this particular
Always
Halloween
a wise
segment
move
at all.
To not put
That's
Homer
right.
in a Simpsons episode.
we
so
were very ballsy.
Previously here, they ran into the parents, and Bart and Lisa said, "Mom, Dad, they're cooking children in the cafeteria." And Homer went, "Children." And Lisa was shocked and said, "Dad, even you don't eat children." whereupon Homer launched into this speech. No, unfortunately, there are certain laws that we must follow as humans, but I have my dreams. Pan-fried Milhouse, batter-dipped Milhouse. I've even written up a book of Milhouse recipes. Nothing illegal about that. His parents weren't crazy about it when I showed it to them, but they're small-minded people.
And there's where that joke wound up, is her reading The Joy of Cooking Milhouse.
Yes.
Something, so we took that out. By the way,
I don't claim credit for that line. I have no idea. It came from the pitch out. So kudos to whoever wrote that.
Whoever did that, which is probably a combination of 10 people, right, Greg?
I think I did all the prepositions in that. That was my specialty.
When we needed an at, we would always...
we would always... Is this a good place for an at? Now, this is a particularly dark episode, and this I found this
figure
incredibly disturbing. And here's Willie's final death. We kill Willie 3 times. I'm so proud of that. And he says, I'm not good at this, and goes... And what's really good is we kind of study here. I love this cycle, by the way, of Bart. That always makes me laugh. It goes on too long.
He isn't listening very well.
But Jim knows how to make us laugh, see? But we actually have a dialogue here that references the fact that, you know, the Simpsons, Simpson children do not die, that the heroes don't die. But we take great... pride in killing them in this horrible,
amazing
horrible
number
way.
Of weird angles and cuts in this.
Well, very visual.
Yeah, we'd really push all the perspective once they bring out the blender.
No! And then it just turns out to be a dream. Now, this is completely based on the thing that scared me the most when I was a kid. It was a show from the radio called Arch Obler's Lights Out, just a radio show. But right when stereo came out, they released an Arch Obler album called Drop Dead. And my brother, who's 13 years older than I am, got it, and he had it in the house. It was really scary. And the scariest thing on it was a thing called The Dark, was this smoke that came in and turned people inside out like that. And it was fantastically scary to picture that in your mind. They just used a rubber glove on a mic. And then the people would wake up inside out, and they go, and you just had nightmares forever. So I thought it would be great to actually turn The Simpsons inside out, but then to take the gore away to kind of do a dance number based on one, and we do this very sick, bloody dance. And then that wasn't evil enough. We added the dog coming because now their insides are on the outside, that he'd be interested in their meat, and he can't help himself, and he eventually drags Bart away.
So it was even scarier for the overseas studio because it was an animate. This was over a minute and a half long. Three guys animating for 2 weeks to do this one scene.
What do they think? What do they think, Jim, when they're animating this?
They explained in no uncertain terms what they thought of me when I sent it to them.
Hey, did you guys see the secret code? David HBD. That was David Happy Birthday Mother, because it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.